Matthew chapter 9, please. And we will begin reading in verse 14. There should be notes. Frenchie had some notes. So if you want some or he hasn't given them to you, go get them from him, take his notes, do whatever you would like. All right, let's stand, please. Since none of you in this room except two are pastors, in the Philippines is the first time I ever experienced people asking me, Pim, are you listening? Trick questions. I never really understood that there are people that have radically strange ideas and they think they're very, very clever because they can ask you a trick question. So I'm going to ask you a trick question. Are you ready? Yes or no? Was Jesus a Baptist? Noel, have you run into this question? You haven't been in the groups that I've been in. This is the trick. Was Jesus a Baptist? Now, this comes out of the South. It comes out of the 1850s. It comes very specifically out of a group of landmark Baptists, some of the most God-hating Baptists I've ever read about in my life, that hate everybody, including other Christians, in Christian love, of course. But I'm going to have you answer, was Jesus, by the way, when I was asked that, I was like, huh? Is Jesus a Baptist? All right. Now, tonight, friend, here's the good news. We'll be done by 7. I am not looking for you to do one thing except understand the big ideas, which are irrefutable, meaning they're just there in the text. But I'm leading you someplace that won't happen until next Sunday night. All right, verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John. As you'll notice later in Mark, remember, longer stories. Mark says the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees come, both groups. It's a little bit more fuzzy in Matthew. And they ask this question, why do we, meaning the disciples of John, and the Pharisees fast oft, or we fast regularly all the time? But thy disciples fast not. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom or bride chamber mourn? Now there's a big question about exactly this little idiomatic phrase, children of the bride chamber. Is that referring to just the special guests and people in the party, or is this referring to the whole wedding? And the answer is, who cares? He's using an analogy. He says, if you go to a wedding, hopefully you don't expect to mourn. Hopefully one day Kim and the lovely young lady next to her and the other young lady, someday you all get married. And by the way, look at me, young, and we mean this 100%. We want the very best for all three of you. Amen. Come on, one person, we want what's best for you. Hopefully it'll be a great celebration. Hopefully we won't be sitting in the back corner going, weeping, saying, oh my goodness. By the way, can I have an amen? Weddings are times of what? Celebration, joy, yes. So he asked the question, don't get caught up in your own stupid. Just answer the big question. Can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast. And then these last two verses, which are found in Mark and in Luke, in exactly the same place, and they do not belong any other place, they are explaining what he's talking about. So don't take them out and decide that it's okay to have dancing girls in church or a hoot nanny if you're from the South. Okay? You don't decide what church is like by plucking two verses, and these two verses simply explain what he's already been talking about. Wow, imagine that. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent or the tear is made worse. I mean, all he's doing, and we'll talk about this, will be next week. You don't put clothing that has shrunk and then put, you know, and if you put other that's not shrunk, when it all shrinks, it ain't going to work quite right. It's going to tear things up, especially in the ancient world, even more so than ours, which we have material that doesn't shrink in the same way. Verse 17, neither do men put new wine into old bottles. The old bottles would be dry leather bottles. He says, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles and both are preserved. I'm going to talk about that next week. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, please. My wife has already given the biblical answer, but what she doesn't know is there are people that call themselves Baptist that are not interested in the biblical answer. I heard a bunch of Sword of the Lord stupidity recently. King James only, King James only, King James only. There's only one problem. There was no Bible preaching that I heard in four or five sermons, not even remotely. But they talk about the King James. They had the guys wave it, and I'm like, it's so much like the Pharisees. Game playing. What was Jesus? Was Jesus a Baptist? Well, first of all, what are you, born a Baptist? Kind of like, you know, you're born from, you're a Hoosier or you're a cheesehead or, I mean, is that what it means to be a Baptist? No, a Baptist is somebody who is a Christian, an Orthodox Christian, who believes the gospel, yes, and holds to the Baptist. Yeah. Well, first of all, Jesus wasn't saved. I don't think he needed to be. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. So Paul is saying that which has come to pass in the church age, the gospel, what Paul had been separated unto to preach the gospel, he says, well, this is just the Old Testament. Verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made or born of the seed of whom? David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 8, 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of what? Is David Jewish? We have some Christians that don't even know Jesus was Jewish. It's not important to them. Christianity is made in their image. Friends, remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was what else does it say? Of the seed of David was what? Raised from the dead, according to my gospel, which his gospel was simply that which the Old Testament taught, set in place, brought to fruition with the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension back to the Father and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. All right, we're going to pray and we're going to run. If you're not ready to run, and by the way, nothing tonight will be mean. I am going to make a statement at the very beginning. But we'll do that when we sit down. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm talking about tonight and tomorrow night. And by the way, there's a reason I'm doing this. I'm going to do something in Sunday school. Now, if you have the privilege of being with the cool kids, Carly and Brenna and the twins and whoever else is in there, you will miss this next week. But next Sunday morning in Sunday school, we're going to discuss that which we have been avoiding, fasting. And it's in the text, and it's in Matthew 6, and I haven't talked about it, so I'm going to. But we'll talk about it a little bit tonight. In your notes, I make a statement. I should not make this statement. I say Lake County Baptist Church. I should say the pastors of Lake County Baptist Church, because I have learned that Christians don't always believe what the church teaches. Lake County Baptist Church believes the church, meaning the body of Christ, the church age and local churches began on the day of Pentecost. That's where I'll begin and that's where I'll end. By the way, let me ask that question again. Was Jesus a Baptist? Why would somebody ask me? By the way, the first time I was asked it, Jenny's, my first answer right out of my mouth was, I'm like, well, Jesus was Jewish. But a Billy Baptist, that doesn't help because they're trying to prove something other than what you can imagine. And what it finally came down to was this. Jesus was baptized by? No, not John the Baptist. He was baptized by a Baptist. By the way, besides of that being stupid, what was John the Baptist? Was he a Baptist? He was Jewish! Matthew 11, 12. John the Baptist is a guy that brings, look at me folks, he is the prophesied guy in Isaiah and in Malachi that was going to prepare the way of the Lord. He had a purpose to bridge from the Old Testament to Christ. He wasn't a Baptist. There wasn't a church. There were not churches. He was Jewish. And of course, if Jesus could only be a Baptist if someone baptized Jesus, that was a Baptist, what's the logic of that stupidity? Then you, well, who baptized John? Oh, folks, you're not a Baptist because somebody baptized you. I'm only a Baptist because I believe the New Testament teaches the Baptist distinctives. Enough of that tonight. Let's go down the run. Some real simple things. All of this will take us someplace, but we won't get there tonight. Number one, what do we find in Jesus' day? That's what I want to begin with. First of all, we know for sure during Jesus' earthly ministry, there was what I'm going to entitle, there was a Jesus movement. That's what I entitle it. Matthew 9, verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John saying, so we know there were the disciples of John. Everybody got that? Yes or no? Then we say what? Saying, why do we, the disciples of John, and the Pharisees, meaning the disciples of the Pharisees, fast often, but thy disciples, the disciples of Jesus, don't fast? So they asked this group a question. So in Jesus' earthly ministry, there was a group that we could identify as the Jesus movement, or the followers of Jesus, something to that effect. I don't have this well laid out. I got the verses beforehand. We'll skip all the verses and go down in the middle. I say this, there were disciples, meaning during Jesus' time. How many? That's hard to know. But this is what I know. There was a small, growing group of believers during Jesus' time. Part of that group was this, in your notes, Old Testament true. They were Old Testament true believers, meaning these were people that were, with the Old Testament comes to a conclusion, and you come to the ministry of Christ, which is a transition period from Old Testament to New Testament. During that transition period, there was this group of Jewish believers. Please look at me. How big were they? The answer is, I don't know. We're going to read a few verses. You're going to find out real quickly. It specifically says there were this group. One of them would have been John the Baptist. He wasn't a Baptist. He didn't belong to a Baptist church. There weren't any Baptist churches. That happens later. He was Jewish. And there was a whole group of these people. Now, quickly in the notes, we won't read it all. Above, back to the verses, Luke 1. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, John the Baptist's father was one of these guys. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He's one of those Old Testament saints waiting for the Messiah. He's a true believer. Is he a church member? No! He's Jewish. But he's part of that transition. John the Baptist, of course, was beheaded, but he would have been part of, he was part of that transition. All right, skip down to Luke 2:25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Friends, an Old Testament saint knew that it wasn't all come to pass yet. They were people looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. John the Baptist's dad, John the Baptist was the transition man. You have Simeon waiting. You have a woman named Anna. Verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So friends, I don't know how big the Jesus movement was, but it consisted of Old Testament true believers looking or waiting for the Messiah. Secondly, it also consisted of his own disciples, that small group that he chose. And he had some little bit larger groups too, but minimally the 12. Next, many others saved along the way. You say, how many were them? We don't know. But it seems like, folks, if you read Matthew 8 and 9, there's quite a few folks saved. So, look at me. Who was this group of the Jesus movement? Old Testament believers waiting for the Messiah. Those people, once the Messiah came, that got saved. They got saved in various places, plus the disciples, of course, in your notes. So, Old Testament true believers, his own disciples, many others saved along the way. And this is the only number we know, but this number is false. It's true, but false. You got to be careful with it. There was about 120 gathered in Jerusalem. I say in your notes, and here's where the number is true. Listen, it's true. 120 were gathered in Jerusalem. But do not draw the wrong inference from that. Where was Jesus' primary ministry? Do not speak. Do this. Where was his primary ministry? Judah or... Rhonda? Galilee. Folks, the folks in Galilee weren't living in Jerusalem. There were a lot more people saved at this time than 120. Do not extrapolate in the wrong direction. But after the crucifixion, before they really knew what was going on, 120, well, this was after even the ascension, 120 was in Jerusalem. The others were probably where they were from. We already know there were people in the north. He had crossed over the Sea of Galilee to the Decapolis area, the Greek-speaking area. We've already talked about that in church. Keep ideas in your mind. There were lots of believers. Friends, the reason the church exploded is there was already a lot of folks saved, but there wasn't a church because the body hadn't been formed. There weren't churches. They really weren't Baptists then. And being a Baptist is not having a big B necklace. It's believing in certain distinctives. That's all that that means. All right. Enough for that for time. You have the Acts 1 passage. I'm not going to read it. Number two. The Jesus movement was distinct from the other two main movements. Now, I'm going someplace with this, though I'm not going to try to prove it tonight. There were, in Mark chapter 2, we'll use it because it's clearer. It says the disciples of John and of the Pharisees, meaning two groups, disciples of John, disciples of the Pharisees, come. And in Mark 2, it says this, the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast? But thy disciples fast not. Friends, please look at me. This is what we know that cannot be refuted. The Jesus movement was distinct from what two movements? The disciples of the Pharisees and they're not the same group. So if Jesus was a Baptist because a Baptist baptized him, we got a problem because Jesus' disciples weren't the same group. Uh-oh. By the way, it's called reading the Bible as opposed to Billy Jim Baptist nonsense. And forgive me, friends, people hate me in the Philippines because I don't believe that Jesus was a Baptist. Even when I point out the Word of God saying he was Jewish, and there were no Baptists before Acts 2:42. That's the result of the day of Pentecost in the church's beginning and beliefs that the New Testament teaches. In your notes, there are, and this is just all stuff that I think is important for some of you know, some of you might not know. There were several well-known groups within Judaism in the first century. The most common group we find in the New Testament are the Pharisees. And friends, I'm going to give you a lot of information. If you are an OCD person, you will fill in the blanks. The blanks aren't important. What's important is getting the idea. The Pharisees were the conservatives. Let me say it another way. In AD 90, the temple's been destroyed. The Jewish people have been scattered. There's a Jewish gathering at a place called Jamnia in Israel. And friends, the only group left standing of the groups we're going to mention tonight outside of Christians, the only group left standing are the Pharisees. The Pharisees won. Did you hear me? Modern Judaism, especially of the Orthodox and beyond, is 100% fair. It's like the Pharisees' religion. The Pharisees were the conservatives. They actually believed the Scripture. And by the way, I don't have this in the notes. Remember I told you, if you're looking to be OCD, you're missing the point tonight. They were a mixed group in the New Testament. Sometimes they're friends of Jesus. Sometimes they're his enemies. Some of them were very much his enemies, but some of them took his side. So they're kind of a mixed group. They were the ones serious about Scripture, though. I also say the scribes were usually connected to this group, but a scribe didn't have to be. The Pharisees were very interested in the Torah, the Scripture, the Old Testament law. Therefore, they would have people to copy things. So scribe being a scholar in writing, reading, and in the Old Testament, and the Pharisees, they tended to be the same group, though not without exception. Next, Sadducees. We find the Sadducees. Please look at me. After AD 70, no one ever met a Sadducee ever again. The Sadducee movement was eliminated. AD 70 was the Jewish war. Sister, you know nothing about the history, but now you will one thing. In Israel today, there's called the Wailing Wall. Yes or no? The Wailing Wall is all that's left of the temple in Jesus' day because the Romans came and destroyed it, and the Sadducees were carried away at that time. There were no more. They don't survive this. They would have similarities to what would be called Reform Judaism, but as a movement, they were gone. Thoughts about the Sadducees. They were the liberals. Next, they denied the resurrection. They denied a lot of things. They denied a literal resurrection, physical resurrection. They denied other things too. They denied angels. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in what's called spirits. They seemed to just be what we would call liberals. They were deniers. Next in your notes. In the Gospel of John, they seem to be called the chief priest. Sadducees aren't mentioned. Why is it? Because, friends, there was a group that controlled Israel at that time of Jewish people, and that group were primarily a big extended family. And the Sadducees tended to be liberals. You say, how can you be a liberal? All right, let me ask you a question. From your knowledge of the book of Acts, how did the Greek-speaking people react to the resurrection? The last thing any Greek speaker wanted was a physical resurrection. They considered the body the prison house of the soul. They believed in the immortality of the soul. Guess what the Sadducees believed? Same thing. They just joined in with the philosophies of the day. All right, other thoughts about them. In the Gospel of John, they seem to be what's called the chief priest. Specifically, the family of Annas. Annas, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to spell this for you, Caiaphas. You have heard, by the way, that there was supposed to be one chief priest, but guess who appointed the chief priest? The Romans. And they appointed Annas. He was like the grandpappy of them all. I believe it's true. Seven of his sons were chief priests, and his son-in-law, which was called Caiaphas. So, friend, according to Josephus and other sources, this family dominated Israel. The normal person despised these people. In your notes, these were certainly power people who worked with Rome. Their biggest thing was working with Rome. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 11 quickly, please. I made a mistake in the notes. It happens once in a while. I may correct it. I may not. John chapter 11, please. Verse 45. John chapter 11, verse 45. So does everyone understand, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read even the book of Acts, because it's a lot of the early parts in Jerusalem, you're going to read about Pharisees, you're going to read about Sadducees. John doesn't call them Sadducees. He always mentions the chief priest, which pretty much has to be the same group. Anna's family, Caiaphas, and a group of people around them. John chapter 11. John chapter 11 is one of the greatest stories in the Bible. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days and had begun to decompose. Jesus raised him from the dead. John chapter 11, verse 45. Here is the response. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed. By the way, wouldn't that be the normal response? Verse 46. But some of them went their way to what? Folks, when I first started teaching in the Philippines, I would have little pastors that were little tattletales. And I was saying things that I didn't know they didn't believe, like the universal church. And they would go tell the certain important people. You got it right here. Folks, if you see somebody raised from the dead that you know is rotting, probably you should take note of that. Nope, this group goes and tells. By the way, let's read on. So it says, they went their way to the Pharisees and told him what things Jesus had done. Verse 47. Then gathered the chief priest. You notice chief priest, that's the Sadducees, and the Pharisees. And that Greek word is Sunedrion, a Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the Jewish council, primarily dominated by Sadducees with some Pharisees. And they asked this question, what do we? What are we doing? For this man doeth many miracles. By the way, friends, if you think reality and truth matters, you don't know religion. They didn't care about that. See, I'm a Christian because I believe it's true. Oh, my friend, do you not know there's a lot of people who are Christians who think it's useful? Yes or no? Let me tell you a story. We've had three or four families visit this church in the last 3 or 4 years that came one Sunday. And you'll be out there wondering, why didn't that family come back? My wife, which is not a mean person like me, said this of a family that visited in the last 3 or 4 months. She said, they'll never be back. Honestly, I thought the same thing, but I didn't want to agree with her. Do you know why? Please look me in the eyes. It's not whether we preach and teach and are helpful and have good singing. It's not useful. They're looking for power, prestige. This is not that church. So they go to the place where they can find that stuff. We continue. What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And what? The only thing they were worried about is this. The Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation, and we won't have our power anymore. That's the Sadducees. Next page, the Essene. Essene. Essenoi is the Greek word. Essene. In your notes, these are not mentioned in the Bible. They're only important for historical reasons, very important. They're not mentioned in the Bible. I would consider the Essene, and by the way, among the normal Jewish person of that day, Pharisees were the standard. They were Pharisees plus isolationist. How you might know about the Pharisees, about the Essene is this. They are found in the Dead Sea area in what is called Qumran. So if you've ever had the privilege of reading, seeing, or knowing anything about the Middle East, the Essene is the group. They're mentioned in 3 or 4 different sources outside of the Bible. And by the way, they were simply the Pharisees, except they didn't want to talk and be around anybody. So they went down to the Dead Sea. They had a community there. There were several communities, maybe even levels of community. This isn't the time to talk, but basically they were Pharisees plus isolationists. And they were found at the Dead Sea and what's called Qumran, Zealots. The Zealots were not yet fully formed at this time, though we have a disciple named Simeon Zelotes, the Zealot. We'll talk about him in a few weeks. The Zealots are the people in AD 66 to AD 70, which was the fall of Jerusalem, and 73. For all of you that love history and know anything about the Middle East, the fall of Masada happened in AD 73, where the Romans built the big thing up the wall, and finally it fell. This was caused from the Zealots. At this time, they were a small group. They were Pharisees plus violence. Violence, meaning they believed pretty much what the Pharisees believed, plus let's kill some Romans. And folks, in AD 66, they killed one too many. And you know when they would do it? Have you looked at America recently? Get a big crowd of people. It's hard to know who's doing what. And they would carry a dagger, short dagger called a sicca. Stab people, melt away in the crowd, point to the person's dead, and melt away. They kill one too many people, and the Romans said, that is enough. My friends, that caused the destruction of the temple that Jesus walked in. And the diaspora of the Jews all over the world. This was the group, the Zealots. Pharisees plus violence. You have the disciples of John, of course. I say in your notes, this group was actually supposed to be a terminal group. Meaning the whole point of John the Baptist was, yes, he was to gather disciples, and they were to transfer to Jesus. Unfortunately, when he was killed, the ones that were left over got goofy. And they hung around here and there for a while. But they were here during this time. All right, there were other groups also. We don't know what all of them were, but we know from the book of Acts, chapter 6, that there were certainly Palestinian Jews, meaning people who were Aramaic, Hebrew speakers, and there were people that were Greek speakers from the diaspora, and they didn't like each other. Look at me. People never like people who are different. Welcome to the real world. Next, there were typical unaligned Jewish individuals. Most of the common people liked the Pharisees, but were not part of any group. Number three, I have said there was a Jesus movement. Look at me. How do I know it? Because there were disciples of John, disciples of the Pharisees, and disciples of Jesus. They're distinct from one another. Thirdly, they're also different. They're not only distinct from, they're different than the other two main movements. How so? The disciples of John, the disciples of the Pharisees fast, and the disciples of Jesus do not fast. I'm going to do this quickly. Fasting, and this is what we'll pick up on in a different line on Sunday school for a few weeks, holds a very strange place in Christian thought and history. This is from a document written in the first century, or second century, somewhere between 100 and 150, don't know exactly. It's called the Didache. These were Christians who said this, your fasting should not be like the hypocrites. You say, why not? Hypocrites, by the way, are the Pharisees. They fast on Monday and Thursday. That's hypocritical. But you need to fast on Wednesday and Friday. Then you'd be spiritual. Do you catch the humor of that? Friends, the church was a mess very early on. There's all kinds of nonsense. We're going to study fasting just for this foolishness. Let's keep on reading. He goes on to say, you should not pray like the hypocrites either, but as the Lord commanded in his gospel. Now, skip down, if you would, to the end of the prayer. The last line says, say this prayer three times a day, which is exactly what Jesus forbid us to do. By the way, that's from a Christian author, Christian document. Fasting has always been a mess in our circles. My own point is this. There was a Jesus movement. It was distinct from the other movements. It was different than the other movements. It did not fast. I say in your notes, the Pharisees fasted two times per week. John's disciples probably fasted somewhat similarly. Jesus' disciples didn't fast, during Jesus' earthly ministry for the simple reason the bridegroom and the bride and the bridal party was a time of what? Celebration, joy, not mourning. Come on, folks. You don't want to go to a wedding and everybody's mourning. You want to go to a wedding. Now, I'm not much. Let me ask, men, do you like to go to weddings? Be honest. I don't even like to go for the cake. The cake is terrible. If there's food there, I'm okay with the food. But every time you go to a wedding, all the women are going, ah. There's something joyous about seeing a young lady and a young man get married. All of the cynical old males, they're out there thinking, when's this sermon get over? When's this wedding get over? Yes. By the way, just summarize. Please look at me. The Jesus movement was different from the other two movements from the beginning, and one of the differences was during his earthly ministry, they didn't fast. Why? He was there. They were rejoicing. Number four, we'll get to the fasting. The Jesus movement would suffer the violent loss of its leader. Everything is found in these verses. Matthew 9:15, and it keeps saying the same thing. Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Well, the answer would be no. That'd be kind of weird. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them. Wow. You have a very strong verb with a little preposition next to it, apa, which means taken away from them violently. And look at me. Jesus is telling us that this Jesus movement is not going to be what it's going to be in the future. And one of the big changes is the bridegroom is going to be violently taken away. That's called a prophecy, friend. Can I tell you this? You don't read Greek, that's fine. Look at me in the eyes. Three times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this is used. The exact wording. This wording must have stuck the very words in their heart because they had seen the one they loved. The one. Yes, you say, well, he died for them. Yes, but just the violence of it all. They had seen him violently taken away from them. Then Jesus says, they're going to mourn then. There's going to be some fasting then. Right now, not so much. On that, we're done. Let's stand.